Parshas Toldos is frequently taught from the prism of two brothers and the struggles between two brothers. And usually those two brothers are Yaakov and Esav. Yitzchak has two sons in this week's parsha, Yaakov and Esav. And they struggle most clearly towards the second half of the parsha, where Yitzchak tells Esav he'd like a blessing, and Rivka overhears it, and Rivka thinks Yaakov should get the blessing, and she encourages Yaakov to actually fool Yitzchak, and Yitzchak gives Yaakov a blessing, and then when Esav comes in and says, is there anything left for me? Yitzchak says, no, it's all going to your brother. And then Yaakov has to run away because Esav really can't stand him. Esav would want to kill him. So usually when we think of the struggle of the two brothers, we think of the struggle between Yaakov and Esav. I thought it might be enlightening to learn together an article from Rav Moshe Wolfson from this book, Emunas Itecha, which is a collection of Torah thoughts that Rabbi Wolfson taught usually during Shalosh Shudas, during the third meal at the end of Shabbos. And as we'll see from this article, the style of thinking is to link together many different disparate elements and to tie them all together like a challenge. You put in meat and beans and potatoes and barley and water, a lot of different things are put in together and all linked together, some linked more strongly, some a little more tenuously, but a lot is linked together to give a person a general sense of cohesion and holism and hopefully inspiration. And Rav Wolfson talks about two brothers, but it's not Yaakov and Esav, but rather it's Yitzchak and Yishmael. The struggle between the Jewish people and the Islamic nation, or the nation of Yishmael. The first pasuk in this, Yishmael, the ancestor of the Muslims. This is on page Samach, starting with the first pasuk in this week's parsha. The pasuk states, "V'ele toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham." These are the chronicles, the stories of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. "Kasav habal haturim." There is a commentary to the Torah written by Rabbeinu Yaakov. Rabbeinu Yaakov was a great master of halacha. He was the son of Rabbeinu Asher, the Rush, who wrote a very famous halachic commentary to the Talmud. And Rabbeinu Yaakov wrote a book called Arba Turim, Four Pillars, in which he organized many halachos, many laws. So Chasav HaBaal HaTurim, the Baal HaTurim writes, "L'kasher sof ha-parsha ha-kodemes in tchilas parsha zu," to connect the end of last week's parsha with the beginning of this week's parsha. "Ki ha-parsha ha-kodemes misayemes al pnei kol echav nafal." Last week's parsha ends with the fact that he fell before all of his brothers. What is that? That's a reference to the death of Yishmael. The end of last week's parsha tells of Yishmael's 12 children, and then it says he fell before all of his brothers. In other words, Yishmael passed away. Yishmael, the son of Avraham, died. Says, what's the beginning of this week's parsha? And these are the chronicles of Yitzchak. This is the story of Yitzchak, says the Baal HaTurim. "V'hainu, she'im nefilas Yishmael, yisromeim karno shel Mashiach shuhum yitoldos Yitzchak." The Baal HaTurim, who lived in the 13th century in Spain, he lived in Toledo, the Baal HaTurim writes that what the verses are teaching us, when Yishmael will fall, when Yishmael will die, then, only then, will arise the descendant of Yitzchak, the Redeemer, Mashiach Tzidkenu. Mashiach will come after the fall of Yishmael. And that's a very revolutionary thing to write in the 13th century. First of all, in the book of Daniel, there is a great prophecy that actually comes through a rather unusual person, through Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream of an idol which has four different metals to it: a head of gold, a chest of silver, thighs of copper and legs of bronze. And when he asks the prophet Daniel for the meaning, the prophet Daniel explains that that's really a reference to Jewish history. That there will be four great empires that will exile the Jewish nation. The Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and finally the Roman Empire, the Edom Empire. In fact, the Midrash says that that might be hinted at in the second verse of the Torah. The Torah says, the ha'aretz haitza tohu vavohu, the choshech al pnei tahom, the ruach elokim rachefes al pnei hamayim, says the Midrash. The ha'aretz and the earth, haitza tohu, it was empty, desolate, confused. That's a reference to Babel. Bohu, all mixed up. That's a reference to the Persians. V'choshech, and dark. That's a reference to the Greeks. Al pnei tahom, on the depths. That's a reference to the Romans. Because the Romans are depths. It's so much longer. It's so much deeper than all the other exiles. Say the exile of the Babylonians, 70 years. The exile of the Persians, what was it? 120 years, maybe 50 years. The exile of the Greeks was also a little more than 200 years. But the Romans were 2,004 years since the beginning, more than that already, that were under Rome. So the Romans, they're the longest exile. That's the depth. On the depths is the Romans. The ruach elokim rachefes al pnei hamayim, but the spirit of God, the wind of God, was hovering over the waters. Says the Midrash, the ruchos shel melach hamashiach. That's the spirit of the Redeemer, of Mashiach Tzidkenu, of Mashiach. So there's a long tradition, going back all the way to the book of Daniel, that there'll be four exiles. So presumably after the exile of Rome, when that's over, then comes redemption. The Baal HaTzurim here is teaching us something magnificent. That actually it'll be after the end of Yishmael, after the end of Yishmael's exile, that redemption will come. And this we can find also.
Is he implying that it's an exile caused by Yishmael, like the others, or is just Yishmael as a nation will cease?
No, it's a persecution that comes from Yishmael.
That's what he's implying here?
Okay. Yeah. No, it's not in his words, yeah. But that's what it's referring to. Yishmael, we find, the Zohar says, how come the prophet Daniel doesn't mention an exile of Yishmael? So the Zohar answers, look in the Torah. Who are the descendants? Where does Rome come from? Rome comes from Edom. Edom comes from Esav. Esav in this week's parsha was Admoni, was all red. They are descendants of Esav. What does Esav do when he sees that Yitzchak doesn't like the wives that he has, and Yitzchak is going to send Yaakov to go find a wife from Lavan? Esav goes and marries Achos Nevayos, goes and marries the daughter of Yishmael. Esav intermarries with Yishmael. So the Zohar says the same will be true historically. The Romans and their descendants, namely the Christian Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, the Christian Church, they'll try to defeat the Jews. When they'll see that they won't be able to, they'll hand the baton over to Yishmael. The same way Esav hands over, joins eventually with Yishmael in history, the Roman kingdom will hand over that job of persecuting the Jews, will be handed over to Yishmael. And Yishmael will be really the end of Rome, the end of the last empire. And when Yishmael no longer persecutes the Jews, then we will, when as it were, Yishmael falls, when Yishmael, as it were, dies, then we'll have the Redeemer, then we'll have Mashiach Tzidkenu. Yeah, the Zohar says this. Now the Zohar was printed in the 13th century by Rav Moshe de Leon, and he claimed that it was from the 2nd century, that it came from Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Right? He He said it was a secret manuscript that he had found, and he was publishing this manuscript 1,000 years after it was written. So that's in the Zohar. And this is what the Baal HaTurim is referring to as well. The Baal HaTurim is saying that when Yishmael falls, the end of last week's parsha, then we can have the beginning of this week's parsha, we can have the descendants of Yitzchak, we can have Mashiach.
Is he picking up on the Zohar's
comment? Maybe. I'm not sure he had the Zohar. I don't know if he had it. So says Rav Wolfson here. The Inyan, this is the second paragraph in this column, in Ha-His-Yach-Such Shal Mashiach Li-Yitzchak Avinu Daika. We need to understand why the Baal HaTurim discovers a hint to Mashiach in Yitzchak. I mean, Mashiach is a descendant of all of them, of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. What is it about Yitzchak that makes Mashiach a descendant of Yitzchak especially? So he suggests, Ki Yitzchak hu ha-menaged li-Yishmael. Yitzchak is the opposite of Yishmael. V'chol tzadik yesh lo menaged b'klipa. God created a world of constant choice, an equilibrium, a world of balance. So whatever exists in the realm of holiness, there exists a parallel to it in the realm of the opposite of holiness. So if in the realm of holiness we have the force of Yitzchak, there also has to exist in the opposite of holiness something which, or someone who is the opposite of Yitzchak. And who is that? That's Yishmael. Yishmael is sort of the equal to Yitzchak on the wrong side, so that it's a balanced world. Now Yitzchak, whom imidas hagvura, hashayich liyisod ha'esh. Yitzchak is related in the books of Kabbalah to the concept of strength, of force, of discipline. That's related to the concept of fire. Fire also is related to strength and force and discipline. The opposite of fire is water.
But Yitzchak is fire?
Yeah.
But he was the exact opposite complexion. We think the red would be fire.
That's his son. Right, his son. But he himself, we don't know what he looked like. But yeah, his son, Esav, was sort of the excesses of his attribute. His attribute was to be a tough person, was to be very strong. His son had excesses of that realm. That's why the Zohar says the reason why Yitzchak loved Esav was because there's a certain love between similar beings. Yitzchak himself was by nature a strong, rigid person. His son was too strong, too rigid, too tough. He was a murderer. But Yitzchak at his core is related to the force of Gvura, of strength. And that's related to the concept of fire. Fire also is related to strength. For example, Rav Chaim Vital writes that in the human personality, there are the basic elements. The same way everything in this world is composed of liquids and solids and gases and energy, the human personality also, its root is fire, water, wind, and energy. So what is the fire, or what is the water element within man? The water element within man is man's natural desire for pleasure. What is the earth element within man? Man's natural desire to be depressed and to do nothing. What is the wind element within man? Man's desires to waste time and to have just sort of meaningless prattle. Emptiness. And the fire element within man is the desire for arrogance, for anger. But that's fire. That's within man. That's sort of innate within man. And that's somewhat related to being a tough person. He doesn't spread out. He's not a giver. He's not water. He's not about pleasures and giving. He's tough. He's like fire. Ulu umaso, and opposite Yitzchak we have the klipa in the forces of evil. We have Yishmael. Yisod ha'esh. Yishmael also is related to esh, to energy, to fire. The kinar erbechush, as we can see, shenitam Yishmael hashlita al yisod ha'esh we see that Yeshivin, a gift to Yishmael. Yishmael is in charge of energy. The whole world's energy is dependent on the nations of Yishmael. V'chol ha'umos tzrichim elav l'haspakas chomrei ha'esh. All nations need Yishmael's help for energy, for that which produces fire. Skipping the parentheses, v'chodesh kislev, in the month of Kislev, haba aleinu l'tova, which is going to come to us hopefully for good, huzman milchama neged Yishmael. The month of Kislev is a fortuitous time to succeed in the struggle against Yishmael. Al pi ha-mevur b'zohar ha-kadosh, based on what the Zohar teaches. The Zohar teaches sheshneim asar ha-nesiyim she-ekrivu karbonoseihem b'chanukas ha-mishkan he-machniyim yud-beiz nesiyim shel Yishmael. The Zohar teaches that when the Mishkan was completed, the Mishkan was really completed during the month of Kislev, but it wasn't actually inaugurated in the month of Kislev. It was inaugurated in the month, I think in Kislev, it may have been in Cheshvan, but it was inaugurated in Nisan, the beginning of Nisan. So how was it inaugurated? What was the first service in the Mishkan? Each one of the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel brought the same karban. The list of karbanos, that's Parshas Nasa. We keep reading it again and again. Vayom Rishon, Nasila, Shevet Yehuda, Nachshon ben Aminadav, and the second day, each leader, his karban, what he brought. The Zohar says, the 12 karbanot brought by the 12 leaders of Israel, each day a different karban, but the same karban, those 12 leaders of Israel, their sacrifices overruled and caused a fixing to the 12 leaders of Yishmael. If we look at the end of last week's parsha, Yishmael has 12 nesiim, 12 princes of Yishmael. The 12 nesiim, the 12 princes of Israel, through their sacrifices, created a merit that enables the Jewish people to overcome the force of Yishmael. In the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha, which is the parsha right after Parshas Naso, the Torah says that God commands Moshe to tell Aharon, when you light the menorah, light it towards the middle of the menorah. Light the candles towards the middle. It says Rashi, quoting a famous midrash, Aharon was jealous. He felt that here all the leaders of the tribes had an opportunity to bring sacrifices, to inaugurate the Mishkan, and he didn't have a chance, and his tribe didn't have a chance. So God told him, you have better than they. You get to light the menorah. This is Rashi. Says the Ramban, I don't understand. Of course Aharon got to do the service of God. All the sacrifices, it's not as if these princes who are bringing the sacrifices, it's not as if they can catch the blood and throw the blood on the altar. That's always done by Aharon. So why would Aharon feel better that he has the service of the menorah? He has a lot of services. The service of the incense, the service of the sacrifices. These are all jobs exclusively that are Aharon's exclusively. So what is he feeling bad about? So the Ramban, in his brilliance, reinterprets the Medrash. He says, yes. Aharon felt bad. Why did he feel bad? Not that he didn't have the option to do service. He was always doing the service. He felt bad that he wasn't one of the ones to inaugurate the Mishkan. Wasn't one of the people to start the service. But God told him, no. You are connected to inauguration. And your inauguration is a more powerful inauguration than their inauguration. How so? 1,000 years later, more, 1,500 years to come from now, God is saying, there'll be a time when the Syrian Greeks are going to rule the land of Israel, and they will defile the Beit HaMikdash, and your children, Kohanim, will wage war, and they will liberate the Beit HaMikdash, and they will re-inaugurate the Beit HaMikdash with Hanukkah, with the holiday of Hanukkah. And then, because of the Kohanim, the Sanhedrin will create a mitzvah to light the menorah. And that is greater than the inauguration of the Nisian. Because the inauguration of the Nisian was one time, they inaugurated the Mishkan. But eventually the Mishkan was set aside. But your inauguration, the inauguration of Hanukkah, that's forever. Even when there's no Beit HaMikdash, the inauguration of Hanukkah is relived in every Jewish home when a person lights the menorah. Every Jewish home is like a little Beit HaMikdash when we light the menorah. In fact, the Sfas Emes said that the word Hanukkah, if you rearrange the letters, spells the words Kohen Ches, a Kohen for 8 days. Because when we light the menorah, each one of us is a Kohen for the 8 days. We are reliving that inauguration of the menorah. In fact, if you look at a very strange Ravid, there's a Ravid who argues that the reason why the text of reciting the blessing is Asher Kidshan Mitzvah Savitz Ivanu Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah and not Al Hadlakas Ner Shel Chanukah is because the text of the blessing for the menorah in our homes was taken from the text of the blessing that Aaron used to recite when he would light the menorah of the Beit HaMikdash. That's why it's Lehadlik and not Al Hadlakas Ner. Because when we light the menorah, it's a miniature Beit HaMikdash. We are continuing the Chanukah. We're continuing the inauguration that Aharon started. So says Rav Wolfson, if the inauguration that Aharon wanted to be part of, that God said, "What your inauguration is better than their inauguration." Their inauguration overcame the 12 tribes of Yishmael. That's why there were 12 princes of Israel, to counteract the 12 princes of Yishmael. So our inauguration of lighting Hanukkah candles also overcomes the forces of Yishmael. When we light Hanukkah candles, when we bring a holy fire into our homes, that counteracts their force of fire that they have. In fact, so now we'll see it all inside. V'chein kasav gam kein b'targum Yonasan. This is also found in the Targum Yonasan in Parshas Naso. Ala pasuk, on the verse, kala bakar la'ola, all the bakar, all the cattle that were brought as korbanos ola, shneim asar parim, 12 oxen, diyehovdun, ravrivi Yishmael, that would cause the loss or the defeat of the great ones of Yishmael. The 12 oxen that the 12 princes of Israel brought were to cause the defeat of the 12 princes of Yishmael. Says Rav Wolfson, over Hanukkah, on Hanukkah, what's the laning? Korim b'Torah Parshas Chanukas HaMishkan Shel Yudbeis HaNesiyim. We read the reading of the inauguration of the Mishkan of the 12 princes. Kedei l'hachnia Yudbeis Nesiyei Yishmael. Because on Hanukkah, through our observance of Hanukkah, through our prayers, we're asking that God should once again overcome the 12 princes of Yishmael. The Nirmazeh. We can find this through Gematria. If you take the verse where we see the defeat of Yishmael, where God tells Abraham, Garesh ha'ama hazos ve'estena, banish this maid, namely Hagar, and her son Yishmael. That equals the same Gematria of Shneim Asar Nesi'im Yolid. He will give birth to 12 Nesi'im, to 12 princes. Because this number of 12, who hamevi legirusho, that will bring the banishment of Yishmael. Ayudei zuchus name asar nesiyei Yisrael hamenagdim oso, through the merit of the 12 princes of Israel who are against the 12 of Yishmael. Uve nesiyei Yishmael, if we look at the princes of Yishmael, nechshev harishon, the first one is nevayos, b'chor Yishmael. Nevayos, therefore, shehu mechuva neged harishon shebenisiyei Yisrael. He must be, therefore, the parallel of the one who is over against the first of the princes of Israel. Who's that? Nachshon ben Aminadav lemata Yehuda. Nachshon, the son of Aminadav, to the tribe of Yehuda. V'yesh chiluk b'David. There's a difference. Shebenisiyei Yisrael, amongst the princes of Israel, Eina seder lefi toldosam. The number is, the order is not according to their descendants. Kedei sheshevet Yehuda yi yashayich lechodesh harishon. Shehu nisan, chodesh hacheset. Yidu etel Yishmael, omer akasav eile shmos bnei Yisrael litoldosam. B'char Yishmael nivayos. Shematchimu mimidas hadin. Univayos demilui haosios. If you take nivayos and you spell out the letters, nun, beis, yud, vav, taf, spell out the nun to be nun, vav, nun. Beis, beis, yud, taf, yud, yud, vav, dalid. Vav, vav, aleph, vav, taf, taf, yud, vav, bigamachia, garesha amahazos. The filled out name nivayos spells is equal, the same gamachia of banish this ama. Uvachodesh kislev, in the month of kislev. Machniim es yisod ha'esh, we overcome the force of energy, shal Yishmael, al yedei kiyum mitzvahs neros Chanukah, through fulfilling the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles, which is b'yisod ha'esh, that's through fire. V'asher b'neros elu mofia oro shal Mashiach. When God created the world, so on the first day, God said, let there be light, and there was light. There was evening, there was day, it was day one. Rashi says that that light was really put aside. It was hidden. Hidden for the righteous in the future. It's a hidden light. It's not revealed. When Adam was created, he was created on Erev Shabbos, Friday afternoon. But couple of hours into Friday afternoon, already Adam ate from the tree of knowledge, and it was decreed that he has to leave the Garden of Eden. But he didn't leave right away. According to the Midrash, God let him stay in the Garden of Eden for Shabbos. Then after Shabbos, Adam was sent out of the Garden of Eden. So the Midrash therefore says that this hidden light really did glow for 36 hours. From the beginning of Friday afternoon all the way till after Shabbos, and a little bit after Shabbos as well. So for 36 hours, the hidden light did glow, did in fact burn. But once Adam left the Garden of Eden, then already this hidden light was hidden away for the righteous for the future. On Chanukah, the Kabbalists say, we end up lighting 36 candles. The first night one candle, the second night two, the third night three, the fourth night four, the fifth night five, the sixth night six, the seventh seven, the eighth night eight. 36. Equals 36. They're 36 candles. Those 36 candles have within them the hidden light. The hidden light is the light that's supposed to come when Mashiach will come. Mashiach will come, the Baal HaTurim told us, when Yishmael will fall. So when we light the Chanukah candles, we're lighting already the beginning of Mashiach, where we're bringing into our home a little bit of the light of Mashiach. And that light already is the end of Yishmael, because it's going to come when Yishmael is no longer going to persecute us. So that's already the beginning of redemption. Yizeo Shakasa, that's what it says, Arachti Ner L'mashichi. In Shichai, I prepared a candle for those who I anointed. Through this candle of Hanukkah, through fire, it overrules the forces of Yishmael. The Lachain, and therefore Tevos, the words, Arachti Ner L'Mashichai, is Begematria, equals the Gematria of Vegamis Ben Ha'ama L'Goya Simenu Kizarachahu. And this son of the maid, I'll make him a nation, for he is your descendant, because he is the opposite of the candle of Mashiach. Furthermore, says Rav Wolfson, V'chein mazalo shel chodesh kislev. The mazal, the astrological sign of the month of Kislev, hu keshes, is keshes, which literally means a bow. That's also against Yishmael. Because what does the Torah say about Yishmael? Vayihiro ve'kashas, he was a bowman. V'hu mechuvan levato koach Yishmael, sha'alav ne'emar b'Torah. It says about Yishmael, Vayehi roveh kashas, he was someone who shot the bow. Ki bevadai, for certainly. Lo lechinam, not for nothing. Hodianu zos hakasu, the Torah told us this. Ella, rather, lehodia, but to tell us, shekoach bitulo, that the force to annul Yishmael is al yidei hakashas, is through the bow. Umatzinu etzel Yehuda, we find by Yehuda, shehu rosh nesia Yisrael, he's the head of the princes of Israel, shenemar Allah, that says about him, lilamed livnei Yehuda kashas, to teach the children of Yehuda how to use the bow. The Gambav Torah's Parsha Seinu, and also
in, that?
What's that?
Well, I made with name the Keshis is quoted from
I there. Think that's it's in
that
the Navi.
The blessings,
no. I think that's in Navi. I think it's in Yoshua. The Gamin, furthermore, Bav Torah's Parsha Seinu, and Bav Torah of our Parsha, Ne'amar Eitzel David HaMelech. This is like this. This apparently this was from 1998. It was like this year where Haftorah was a Machar Chodesh, and the key phrase in Machar Chodesh is Hine achitza mimcha vahena, that Yonatan tells David, no, the arrows, it doesn't tell David, he tells the Na'ar, the arrows are further. Ki achitzin heim simen shel David HaMelech. Apparently the arrows were the sign of King David. He's saying the arrows are further. King David, you have to run, you have to go further. Because King David's arrows are the arrows of the bow, umas Yishmael, shuhurove kashas, against Yishmael, who shoots the arrows. If we go on now to the skipping the next paragraph, going to on page Samach Aleph. Ukfi ha'amor, as we've explained, Mazel Kislev, the astrological sign of Kislev, who keshes, is the bow. Lineged Yishmael, to counteract Yishmael, shehu rove kashas, he was a bowman. V'alidei ha'eshel ner Chanukah, through the fire of Chanukah candles, machniim, we overrule, yisod ha'eshel Yishmael, the fire of Yishmael. V'lachin, and therefore, Mazel Kislev keshes, the mazel of Kislev, Keshes, those three words, equals Bikara, within 10 Tfachim, because the Gemara says you should light the Hanukkah candles within 10 Tfachim of the ground. The Chenin also, Mazel Keshes, the Mazel of a bow, equals the Gematria of Ben Yishai Beis Halachni, Ben Yishai who comes from Beit Lechem, which is Mashiach. Furthermore, when Mashiach will come, we'll have the fulfillment of the promise of Akim es sukas David hanofalas. I will uplift the sukkah of King David that is falling. That equals the gematria of the phrase Eile toldos Yishmael ben Avraham. The Eile toldos Yishmael ben Avraham. These are the chronicles of Yishmael. That once Yishmael is overcome, then we can reestablish the Beit HaMikdash. Says Rav Wolfson, what's that?
Is that saying that we shouldn't try to establish the Beit HaMikdash now?
I'm sure he would say that. He would certainly say we shouldn't try to build the Beit HaMikdash till it's the right time, till Mashiach is here. The Rambam writes that building the Beit HaMikdash is one of the jobs of Mashiach, and it proves that that person is Mashiach if he can, in fact, build the Beit HaMikdash, one of the ways of knowing that he's Mashiach. So, yeah, you would say we should wait for that. Suggests Rabbi Wolfson, another point. Talking about Mashiach. V'hinei b'sefer Divrei Hayamin. If you look in the book Divrei Hayamin, Shmo shel David mofia tamid b'milu yud. The name David always appears with a yud in the book Divrei Hayamin, which is the end of the Navi. The Tzarech Bir, we need to understand why this is so. V'yesh lefarish, perhaps we can answer. Ki David hu b'chinas ha-malchus. David represents God's kingdom. B'chinas shchinta kadisha, the concept of God ruling over the world. Shehi akala mekushetes b'chaf dalet kishutim, Shekineged zehim chaf dalat svarim shel Tanach. There are, the Zohar says that God's rulership of the, over the world is symbolized by the image of a bride. And the bride has 24 pieces of jewelry. That's what the Zohar says. What does that mean? Those are the 24 books of our Holy Scripture. Those are the 24 pieces of jewelry that adorn the Almighty. V'chein chaf dalet prakim shel Maseches Shabbos. There are 24 chapters in Tractate Shabbos. Ki Shabbos hi akala mekushetes b'chaf dalet kishutin. Because Shabbos also represents God's rulership. So it has 24 adornments, 24 pieces of jewelry. U'kineged zehim chaf dalet hatzirufim shel Hashem aleph dalet nun yud. If you take the name of God, aleph dalet nun yud, and you rearrange the letters, you can have 24 different rearrangements. It could be Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. It could be Nun, Yud, Dalet, Aleph. Four times, right. So you can have 24 different arrangements, because these that represents the 24 pieces of jewelry. Now, the Gemara in Baba Basra says, the Gemara in Baba Basra, Nechshav Sidron Shel Sfarim. The Gemara calculates the books. Va'achron, Sefer Divrei Hayamim. The last one is the book Divrei Hayamim. Skipping the parentheses, the Nimsa comes out. Sefer Divrei Hayamim hu hashlamas chaf dalet kishutei hashchina. So that means the book of Divrei Hayamim represents completing all the pieces of jewelry for the Shechina, ending the last of the 24 pieces. V'chasav b'Rashi b'akdamas Divrei Hayamim. Rashi writes in his introduction to Divrei Hayamim. The purpose of this book is to tell us of the whole family of King David, that we should know where King David came from. Since it completes the 24 arrangements of the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the Chaf Dalet Akishutim, and the 24 pieces of jewelry, that's the completion of King David. Because King David was the person who revealed the Shechina in this world. So this is the end of completing the Shechina, as it were, or completing the adornments around the Shechina that's related to King David. That's why in this book, Shmo Shel David Mofia B'Milui Ha'os Yud. That's why King David's name is in its most fulled out way with a letter Yud. Shemisper Hashem David. Once you have the letter Yud in it, David is Gematria 24. Dalet and Dalet is 8. Vav is 6, 14. And Yud is 10, 24. Isa the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rabbi Wolfson comes up with a theme. And then, once he has the theme, he starts thinking of Gematrios. And if he has a lot of Gematrios, all along the same theme, then he feels confident that the theme is correct, and he says it. He has a knack for math, right? Right, but he doesn't need any computers. Isa the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasos Hizkiyahu Mashiach." God wanted to make Hizkiyahu Mashiach. The Sancherev Gog u'Magog, and the war that Sancherev waged against Jerusalem, that would be Armageddon, the war of Gog and Magog. Amar midas hadin lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the attribute of justice said before God, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the World, Chezkiyah shasita lo kol hanisim halalu, Chezkiyah, that you performed all these miracles for him. V'lo amar shira lefanecha, and he never sang before you, Ta'asehu Mashiach, you're going to make him into Mashiach. The Tzarech Bir, we need to understand Lahavin Tamo Shel Chizkiyahu. We need to understand the reason of Chizkiyahu. Lama Lo Amar Shira Al Hanisim. So why didn't Chizkiyahu, in fact, sing to God for all of the miracles? So now he's suggesting the answer. The Naktim Hadi Isa B'Sanhedrin. Maybe we can answer with what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin.
Who interfered by saying this?
The attribute of justice, namely the angels, right, the angels that demand that man only should get something if he deserves it. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, they do, Shechizkiyahu HaMelech Iber Nisan B'Nisan. The Gemara says that Chizkiyahu once tried to make a year longer by adding a month, but he did it too late. He did it already when the Nisan had already started. When Mefarshinu, the Gemara explains, She'ibiris Hashanah b'yom shloshim shel Adar. It was the 30th day of Adar, and he tried to turn it. He tried to say, okay, now we'll have a second Adar. The Tav de Shmuel, he made a mistake from the law of Shmuel. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel taught, Ein ma'abrinas Hashanah b'yom shloshim shel Adar. We are not allowed to extend a year on the last day of Adar. Ho'el v'roi l'kovo Nisan. Since it could become Nisan, therefore you can't make it a continuation of Adar. Yusavar ho'el v'roi lo aminan. He thought that we don't say that. In other words, he thought, if it could be Nisan, still, as long as it's Adar, you could continue the year. That's in the Masechet Sanhedrin. V'ne'isa b'medrash shir ashirim rabba. The Medrash says, Eser shiros hein. There are 10 types of song. V'kachashiv azulahu sham. The Medrash lists the different types of song. That she is the 9th song, who shir hashirim shal Shlomo HaMelech. The song of songs of King Solomon. V'ha'asiris, and the 10th, is la'asid lavo, the song of the future. Mizmar, the song, Shiru Lashem Shir Chadash, sing to God a new song. Umeata, now. Yesh Loma, we can say. Shechizkiyahu lo ratza lomar shira. Chizkiyahu did not want to say a song. Ki Ashira Ha'asiris, why did, because the 10th song, Hare Yehuda l'Mashiach, that's the song for Mashiach. Varehu einenu Mashiach. And he thought, I'm not Mashiach. Ah, you'll say, but he could have been Mashiach. But what does Chizkiyahu think about if it could be? He says, Ho'el v'ra'oi, lo aminad. That's why he thought he could extend the month, he could extend the year. Even though it was the 30th day of Adar, he thought the fact that it could be the first day of Nisan doesn't mean that it should be treated as if it's the first day of Nisan. We don't say, if it could be, it is. So he also thought, I could be Mashiach, but if I'm not Mashiach, I'm not Mashiach. We don't say, oh, but it could be. Of course he knew that he could be Mashiach. He thought, if I'm not apparently Mashiach, so it's not time to sing the song of Mashiach. He's following his version, his belief. The same way he thinks the Mutala Abra Ashana Biyom Shloshim Shal Adar, the same way he thought you can extend the last year on the last day, on the 30th day of Adar, even though this day could be already the first day of the new year. Shahoil Virawi Lo Aminan, because he says, we don't say, oh, since it could be the new year, it already is treated like the new year. He doesn't believe if it could be, it should be treated that way. He also thought, because I could be Mashiach, doesn't mean I should be singing the songs of Mashiach. Going a little further, Nisan is the month of Mashiach. He thought it has to first be holy with the holiness of Nisan to be in that state of Nisan. Even though he's fit to be Mashiach, since in heaven they haven't yet sanctified him to be Mashiach, so he can't sing the new song. The Gemara says there, the Gemara says, therefore, God says that the secret is to me till he'll come. The idea is, ki razili, the secret is to me, is begematria, behu yiye pera adam, yado bakol viyad kolbo. That's the pasuk about Yishmael. He will be a wild man, his hand in everything and the hand of all in him. In other words, we're waiting for the fall of Yishmael, for the coming of Mashiach. Mashiach can only come after Yishmael will no longer be a scourge against the Jewish nation. For Amnam, the truth is, however, lefia emes, in truth, hayatzarech lomar shira, he should have sang. V'im haya omer, if he would have sung, azai haya zocha l'esmanos before alios Mashiach, he would have become Mashiach. Avalo zacha l'chach, he didn't merit to it, v'achar kachazar bo, k'mo shemavur b'gemara, then he realized he made a mistake. He said, God should forgive. In fact, I should never have extended that year. What we would say is, he prayed to God to forgive him for not having sung. L'chein, therefore, these words, Hashem Atov Yechaper, the good God will forgive, equals, in Gematria, Mashiach. And Hashem Atov Yechaper Ba'ad, God who is good should forgive for, equals, Chodesh Kislev, the month of Kislev. Because the month of Kislev is the month which is especially fortuitous for the coming of Mashiach, because in the candles of Hanukkah we have the light of Mashiach. Hashem Atov Yechaper Ba'ad equals in Gematria Mashiach ben David, Mashiach the son of David. If we continue on to the next paragraph, not the paragraph of Lufi Darkeinu, but rather V'hineh Hashira. V'hineh Hashira Sharsha b'midas ha'gvura Asher misham nimsheches ha'simcha k'di'isa kama pa'amim b'zohar ha'kadosh. The Zohar says something very striking, counterintuitive. The Zohar says that song actually comes from the force of gvura, from strength. Song doesn't come from chesed, from kindness. The Zohar says that the Kohen is the paradigm of chesed, of kindness. And the Levi is the paradigm of gevura, of strength. That's why we find that when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain and the people are worshipping the golden calf, who joins Moshe in killing out all the idol worshippers? The Levim, because the Levim are strength. But who sings in the Beit HaMikdash? The Levim. Not the Kohen. Song, says the Zohar, comes from strength. We know Yitzchak is the personality of Gvura, of strength. Says Rav Wolfson, song is also sort of a heights of joy. L'chein, and therefore, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the great joy of the Beit HaMikdash, on Sukkis, Matchelas Daika only begins on after the first day, B'lishpiza, during the day when who is our guest? Of Yitzchak. He is the person of strength. Yitzchak is a language of joy, of happiness. That's what our sages mean when they say, Shira, real song, should be said over wine. Ki hayayin hu mishoresh hagvura. Wine comes from gvura. Umisham shoresh hashira v'asimcha. And there can come joy. And song, wine will make a heart happy. This is what the Zohar says. All who come from the side of the left, sitra de nukva, the side of the feminine, ismanin al hashir, they are appointed to sing. They sing constantly. And the truth is, says Rav Wolfson, you can even see this somewhat physically, but the only way you can have a nice song is if you limit your voice into a particular note. There has to be limitation in song. Strength is related to limitation. There has to be limitation in song. Now, what has Rav Wolfson been saying till now? That the month of Kislev is the month when we will counteract, the month which is whose astrological sign is the bow, that's the month that is destined for the counteraction, for overcoming the bow of Yishmael. What do we do on Hanukkah? On Hanukkah we say full hallel. We say B'nei Vina, the men of understanding, Yimei Shmona, for 8 days, Kavu they established, for Shir Urananim, for song and celebration. Hanukkah is a time of song. The gematria of the phrase, Tamaos Tzur, Kavu Shir Urananim, equals Ayihiro Vekashas, and he was a bowman about Yishmael. That through the song of Hanukkah, we will overcome the force of Yishmael.
We won't need their oil.
We won't need their oil, right. So then said Rav Wolfson, that he encourages all of his students, that this is a speech at the end of Parshas Toldos, that they should all take on during the month of Kislev to have tremendous joy, tremendous happiness, tremendous amounts of singing, to serve God with song, to serve God by lighting Hanukkah candles, to serve God by learning all the 24 books of Tanakh, to serve God through a passion for holiness, through limiting ourselves, pulling ourselves in from doing misdeeds. And in that way, in this month of Kislev, hopefully we'll see the fall of Yishmael. And when we see the fall of Yishmael, we'll see the coming of Mashiach. So who knows, maybe if today's rumors are true, that wicked man, whose gematria of his name is Yishmael ben Avraham, if you spell his last letter with a tav, if that wicked man in fact died today, or maybe he died Shabbos, or maybe he'll die next Shabbos, maybe he'll die Sunday, Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and hopefully Yishmael ben Avraham will fall, and hopefully we'll see the coming of Mashiach.
Amen.